At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by Draw You a Picture, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others and see what I can do for you at drawyoupicture.com. Also by our patrons like Eric Kube, Carrie Fisher right after that.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by drawyoupicture.com, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others and see what I can do for you at drawyoupicture.com. Also by our patrons like Eric Kube, Eric Fisher, and Ethan Nicole, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Join today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Hello, my name is JoJo the Christian Clown, and I want to say once and for all that the Star Wars prequels were absolute gold. You're listening to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
Who's watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turn into a bat. I flew into this tweety house.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 413, brought to the week of June 2nd, 2022. I'm your host, my name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John. Guess what, James?
What?
This crazy story real quick. Somebody tried to sell me a coffin yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, psh, that's the last thing I need. Get it there. Thank you.
It is the last thing you need. It's like, you know, what goes through a bug's mind when he hits a windshield.
That's a good one.
His butt. Yeah.
So never gets old.
Never does.
It's the last thing through a bug's mind. His butt.
Anyway, we always start with an opening story. Welcome to the show, by the way, everybody. We thank you for being here. We're glad you're here. We hope you have a great time. This is called Toe Terror by Nancy Nedekoven from New Richmond, Wisconsin, I guess. I sit here writing this as soon as it happened. It all started with my mom and my four-year-old sister, and she told her to go eat my 17-year-old brother, who was sitting on the couch. So my sister went up and pretended to bite my brother. You know how four-year-olds are. They'll do anything they're told. It was not clear to him that she actually put his toe in her mouth. He jumped up and he looked around and said, well, what happened? And then he saw my sister with a grin on her face, and me and my mom laughing our heads off, and he put two and two together and ran. And after that, my sister proceeded to run around the house chasing him, trying to lick his feet until he bribed her with whipped cream to lick my feet. Oh, four-year-olds, you know. At this point, my parents put a stop to it. Needless to say, it's been a fun evening watching my cool older brother jump off the couch and stammer what happened to my little sister and then take off head over heels trying to get away from her. Mary Nedekoven Go get married, go. Mary, as soon as possible. Change your last name.
What if that is her last name from the marriage?
I don't think so. She has a 4-year-old sister. I don't think that's possible.
No. Good point.
I just want to say that the reason why I read that is because it reminded me of a story of my daughter. We were fighting one time, and she couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 herself. And we were wrestling and in the bathroom, and the wrestling turned into me trying to stick her hand in the toilet. And she was fighting it. And I eventually overpowered her, and her hand got down in the toilet. And immediately the woman didn't even flinch. She didn't stop to think about it. She realized she had a weapon. She started to try to put it in my face and chase me around the house.
I wonder where she got that from.
I have no idea. So
you just weaponized my hand for me.
Yes, exactly. And it was so gross. So it was really fun. Let's rewind the week. Rewinding. All right. So this is where we tell something silly or weird or crazy or sometimes downright boring from the last 7 days or so. Have I talked about having dreams of living with my mom?
I don't recall.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you about them. I've been having dreams that I'm living with my mom again. And it's because I've been working on this bit for this open mic that I'm doing. Been talking about this triple wide trailer, this DIY triple wide trailer that my mom made, and people in that listen to the show know about my triple wide trailer experience.
Yeah. But
so anyway, one of these dreams was just that I remember was me just sitting in the house with my mom, and she's buying this house, and the lady that they're buying it from is just sitting on the couch talking to my mom, and I just kind of overhear part of the story, and the story goes, yeah, we would have put in a bathroom if I'd known we were going to have kids, but an outside shower seemed like a fine idea at the time. And I'm just like so stressed out. That's the thing you don't get when you retell a dream is the emotions that go into it. There was so much stress, 'cause living with my mom was no picnic. And, so anyway, I am finally done with that. I'm not having dreams of living with my mother, but this house did not have a bathroom, and it was very disturbing.
So your dream home didn't have a bathroom?
Yeah, it wasn't a dream home. Trust me, it was a nice little place, but I was shocked to hear they didn't have an indoor bathroom. And now, let me just say this because I know people. There's somebody that listens to this show that does not have an indoor bathroom, and you're going to get really upset, and you're going to write me an email, and you're going to say, how dare you? My house is completely fine. What are you saying, that we're trash because we don't have an indoor bathroom?
No.
Of course I am. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
I just wanted to see.
Wasn't expecting that.
I just wanted to see John freak out, y'all.
It's weird because I'm not used to having the picture seeing you. I'm not used to seeing you on the podcast here. And now that we're on Twitch and stuff like that, you know, it's kind of part of our thing. And I'm watching you tell your story, and I'm just agreeing with you in my mind. It's like, oh, wait, I've got to have verbal response because there's people listening to this somewhere.
Yeah.
They don't know we're watching each other.
Yeah. If you laugh and we don't hear it, we don't know you're laughing. So,
yeah. I'm laughing on the inside.
By the way, that is our other, might as well make that announcement now. We're on Twitch now on Thursdays. You can join us live on twitch.tv/NLcast, just like so many fine people have, today. We've got plenty of folks in there. Garbage. You can meet a guy named Garbage. I mean, and Smart Carrot.
Yeah.
And, Nixon Smits and Emmy Lou. Mm-hmm. And, you can hang out with a lot of people that like to watch us live. I've never promoted the live show. We've done them for years, but because they weren't accessible to people with disabilities, but Twitch supposedly is. So hopefully you can make it over to twitch.tv. You can get it on your phone. There's an app. You can get it on your browser. You just type in twitch.tv/NLcast and then hit follow, and you'll get a notification when we go live. But it's going to be Thursdays at 5 Central, but it'll notify you in your time zone so that you can join us. And if you've ever wondered what we look like in real life, now's your chance.
Now you can be disappointed with how we look.
Yeah, John's bald and I'm fat. So
yeah,
there you go.
Between the two of us, we're a perfect wreck, I guess. So there you go.
John wears button-up shirts, though, so he's still trying. He's still trying.
I'm still trying.
Yeah. So anyway, what's going on in your world, John?
Man, so graduation season. By the way, congrats to all of you who have graduated from high school or college or kindergarten or eighth grade. Whatever you've graduated from, congratulations to you.
Yay!
But it's been graduation season, and so it's been busy in the school realm. And so thank you for forgiving me for missing last week. But by the way, Mr. Dickers was awesome.
Yeah!
He was fantastic. I loved listening to the show, and is like, man, I wish I could have made it for that one. But alas, I did not. But fantastic job, by the way. Just that. Go back and listen. Anyways, last week when you were, or week before last when you were recording and we're not at PodFest, I was on the football field live streaming a graduation. I believe it was for high school. And doing anything on that football field is hot because it's one of those turf fields, you know? Mm. So we got a nice track around it, and the sun just bakes it, and because it's got all that rubber, it just absorbs that heat and then it radiates it throughout the night. So you've got to be there early to set up for live stream and all the stuff that you're getting ready for a big event. So I was down there and I was cooking as it was. And I was like, I don't want to sweat through my shirt and the event hasn't even started yet.
Take off your clothes. So,
thought about it, but no, I didn't.
Good.
Not on the track. We have a press box, see?
Oh, no. And
a press box is for those who don't do athletics or whatever. It's an elevated structure. Ours is enclosed and air conditioned.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's amazing. Yeah. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go up in the press box and I'm going to cool off. Well, I wasn't cooling off fast enough, so I decided to take off my shirt.
Take off your clothes.
There you go. Just my shirt.
Okay.
And I was like, man, it's so hot. And so I took my shirt off and I'm waving it in front of the air conditioner so that it gets, you know, dries out and gets cooler faster, because I didn't want to be all that sweaty guy who's just so sweaty and the event hasn't even started yet.
Yeah.
So I'm drying, I'm getting it. And I did that a few times throughout the night before the event started. And I was just busy getting things ready and doing stuff. And there was a dude up there at one point, and I said, hey, man, I'm just going to take my shirt off up here and keep it, you know. And he's like, oh, whatever, man, go ahead.
Telling people.
Because I didn't want him to, like, come out of the other room in the press box and be like, well, there's a dude without a shirt, you know, because that would have been awkward and weird. But so I did that. And then we get the event going, graduation's going, and the live stream's happening. There's a whole other story about how messed up that was, but it was still great. And so finally I get to a point where I can start checking some of the messages on my phone because, you know, I got things running, things are working. And I look at one of the messages, and the security guard said, I did not want to see that. That's how he had typed it out in the text. And for a split second, I was like, what in the world is he talking about? And then as soon as that thought went through my brain, I realized there are cameras in the press box.
Oh, no!
And so every time I took my shirt off and I was walking around in the press box with my arms out, cooling off and throwing my shirt up in the air, he was watching me. I never felt so violated. But no, I had to respond. I was like, man, I was hot. I'm sorry. But he gave me a good ribbing for that. So
yeah.
I say all that to the moral of the story is be careful what you do because you never know who's watching.
And never know who's recording their next TikTok.
Oh, man. I didn't see I hope he doesn't have TikTok. I know he's got a pretty strong Instagram following, but I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't put me on that.
Yeah, put you on Reels, man. Hey, check it out. I did not want to see this. Dun, dun, dun.
Look at this idiot taking off his shirt in the press box. Who does he think he is?
So are you an undershirt wearer, or are you just shirt and skin, and that's it?
For many years I was an undershirt wearer, but now I'm shirt and skin.
Oh, wow. Wow. That just brings a whole new flavor to the story that I did not want to see that or know about that.
I got to tell you, I am so white, it looks like I do have an undershirt on.
It's good. All right, we got some announcements real quick. NarthexCon registration is closed.
Oh.
Yeah, it closed on the 31st, but we do have some spots. We just don't have any t-shirts available for you. That was the reason for the real stop. So if you absolutely say, James, I got to come, I got to get there, I got to be there, I got to be part of the thing, just email me, james@nlcast.com. We'll squeeze you in. But we are nearing, the limit of what is available. So, we want to know if you're coming, but registration is closed. It's closed with a lot of people. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be awesome. June 11th here in St. Louis. I can't believe the people that are coming. It's going to be so great next week. That's right.
Yeah.
So we have a new phone number. Remember when we used to take phone numbers and talk about phone messages and all that kind of stuff? Yeah. Well, it fell out of favor with me because the phone message system got crappy. But now I have a new voice message system and a brand new phone number, and it's toll free. It is 1-833-55-STORY. So 833-55-STORY. That's 833-557-8679 for those that don't like cute phone numbers. But you can call us now and leave your message and we'll play it on the show. We have something we're going to do today. It's going to be awesome.
Sweet. And I love it.
Yes. So exciting. The new, That Story Show storyline is 833-55-STORY. Also, you can join us live every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central, twitch.tv/NLcast. We've already talked about that. It is time for a brand new segment called Laughs from the Past. All right. Thanks to Jake, the TSS historian, from episode 290, he's given us a segment that I'm going to play called, it's just called Past. I don't even know what it's about. He just told me that it's a thing I freak out about a lot. So it's something like a segment where I'm freaking out a lot. And I should have done better homework, but it's the first time I've ever done this segment. So, give me some forgiveness.
Oh, here we go. I don't know what's happening. So, hey, this is awesome.
Here it goes.
All right. Well, we got another story here from Mom of Boys. So, this has probably got to be good. This is an adult snack.
Yeah, that's you, John.
So kindly by James, adult snack. So, recently I decided to try a new type of training for my team. I would have the team meet on – I'd have them meet online and present the course from the comfort of my own home. I started the meetup and everyone was really quiet. As the meeting progressed, one of the attendees started to pick their nose.
It's so gross.
Okay, well, that happens. But, it's normal, right? We all pick our nose. Not on camera. I decided to ignore it and continue, as I didn't know her that well and didn't want to embarrass her. So,
point of order, the person in the left right square, can you stop picking your nose? Thanks. That's all you had to do.
Yeah, true. Anyway.
At this point, I believed only her and one other person were on.
Oh.
I was screen sharing a PowerPoint, so I could only see people who weren't muted. When I finally turned the screen share off, I realized there were actually closer to 5 people other than myself in attendance. This was a beta test, mind you. I still couldn't hear anyone. Turns out my computer was on mute the whole time.
Oh, boy.
And at one point, the same lady was shouting at her kids in the middle of the meeting, something like, "Go away! I'm not watching a movie! I'm picking my nose!"
Yes.
After all but one of my team leads had logged off, I found out that she had been eating burgers. I'm not watching the movie, but I got my own snack.
Ah!
I'm trying to stop.
Here's the best part. Here's the best part. Without knowing, everyone could see. She could see. She, everyone could see her, but she didn't know they could. Mom of Boys learned two very important things. One, make sure my volume isn't muted.
Yeah.
And two, remind everyone that they are on camera so that they make sure that they mute their audio.
Mute your audio and your video, you crazy booger-eating lady. God!
Or just take care of it and just cover your
God, don't eat them. Don't eat it. Gosh. That one got me, man.
Did it?
Yeah. I'm totally grossed out now.
Oh, man.
All right. That's the end.
I couldn't tell what was live and what was
I know.
I was like, James, which one is you?
That was mostly him. That was mostly the old James who was
old
screaming.
James.
Yeah, but I found myself screaming right along with him there at first, and then I was like, well, somebody's taking the words right out of my throat. It's old James. So
mercy. So that had to have been in the 2020s?
Yeah, I would reckon so. Yeah.
I'm assuming. It sounded like it was in that COVID era.
Yeah.
People doing Zooms and
so
team meetings.
So if you want to hear the whole episode, it's episode 290, The Message. And thanks again to Jake, the TSS historian, that story show historian.
Yes. Thank you, Jake.
In our wonderful Discord server who seems to always know the answer to where in the world can I find that one part from that one episode, that one story. He always knows. So, but he'll be bringing these to us about once a month from now on. So I'm very
awesome.
Very grateful for that. Let's jump into, some listener stories real quick. All right. This segment is brought to you by Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. God made laughter and meant for us to enjoy it. And when you're laughing at clean humor, there's no guilt. It's like eating that no fat, no sugar ice cream, only it's more natural and your hands don't get sticky. And your ears don't either. When you're done listening to that story show, go check the Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. It's in several podcast directories and also at bit.ly.com/funnyandclean. That's bit.ly.com/funnyandclean. You'll find funny sketches, stories, bloopers, and more. You'll even find a parody of a certain time-traveling sci-fi hero as Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. Ask for it by name. And thank you so much for sponsoring the episode, Protectorate Productions. We hope you get a lot of listeners because you work hard for the money. You do good stuff. So anyway, we got a voicemail. It's from Todd Napper, and it's called The Trailer Shoe. Here it goes.
A few years ago, I had this lawn service, and I had about this 5x8 trailer that I would keep my equipment on. Well, me and my buddy, we were going down the freeway, and this truck just flew by us. I mean, we were going 70, and the guy was sitting, went by us like we were sitting still.
Dang.
Yikes.
And I turned to him, I was like, man, this guy's going to cause an accident driving like that. And then he was weaving in and out of traffic and just driving crazy. And sure enough, about 5 minutes later, we come up on a couch in the middle of the freeway, and we're watching this truck, and sure enough, he doesn't see the couch, and he swerves just in time to miss it, but loses control of his truck, and so he starts spinning across the freeway. Thankfully, it didn't take anybody out while he was spinning, but he ended up resting up against the wall. And so he jumps out of the truck. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he was just disoriented, didn't want to get hit in the middle of the freeway. I don't know. But he jumps out of the pickup, runs around to the other side of the pickup. As we're coming up on him, we're watching him, and we're like, okay, what's this guy doing? As we pass by, we kind of look over at him, and he goes around the other side of his truck, and he's trying to make it to the wall. Well, all of a sudden, we hear the screeching of brakes. And look over and see this truck just hit him. And the guy had slowed down probably about 30, 40 miles an hour, but still, I mean, this guy got clobbered pretty good. And we just see him just get hit, bounce off the truck, hit the ground, jumps up, and runs to the wall. Well, me and my friend, we were just in total shock at what we just saw. And so we just kind of kept going, not really sure what to do. And by the time we were already 2 or 3 miles down the road, we kind of really, you know, we probably should have stopped to see how this guy was doing. But at the time, there was already a couple of the cars stopping too, and there wasn't a whole lot we would have been able to do. But finally, we get to where we're going, and we get out of the truck, and we're about to get all of the equipment off the trailer, and I just see a shoe in the back of the trailer. And ooh. I look at my friend. I said, "Hey, man, did you pick up a shoe at the last job or something like that?" And he's like, "No." So, no, not really. Not that I remember. And I don't remember picking up a shoe. And so we realized this guy got hit so hard that he literally got knocked out of his shoes. And not only that, his shoe went flying through the air as we were passing by and lands in the back of my trailer. So
what are the chances?
Going off with this guy's shoe that just got hit. So, yeah, that was quite an interesting event.
Yeah. Wow. Moral of the story, if you're going to drive like an idiot,
yeah,
wear better shoes.
Tie your shoes tightly. Yeah.
I am. Couldn't. Dude got clobbered. I hope he's okay, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine. But
good night.
There's a certain amount of karma this guy was building up, you know, driving like an idiot like that, you know? So, I don't know.
Wow. I hope you held on to that shoe as a souvenir. Like, I would have put it on the bumper. It's a bumper shoe now, not a trailer shoe.
It's like I can't remember who was who, but somebody here in the city was taking out the garbage, and they found a shoe and a pair of pants, and it looked like somebody had just dropped their pants and stepped out of the shoe. So it was like,
oh,
like they were going to get in the shower or something, you know? And then, because my wife was one of these two people. I think she was the one that was, because we used to live right next door to my friend David and his wife, Sherry. And she went out of the trash cans. And yeah, there's this pair of pants just totally stepped out of right next to a shoe. And she comes in and tells me about it. And then David calls me, says, "There's a guy walking around the..." This white dude walking around in the alley in his underwear and without a shoe on.
He's missing a shoe.
And I'm like, well, the mystery is solved, you know?
Yeah, instant gratification.
It's a drunk guy.
Where are this guy's pants and shoe? No, where's the guy in the...
He had been wandering around most of the evening, you know, and into the morning, in the alley. And, oh man,
the mentality of the inebriated. I don't know. I was like, I think I'll be good without my pants. I'll just go and leave the shirt too.
Well, I'm sure what happened is he went to take a leak and lost them and just forgot. You know, in that short amount of time that it took for them to fall, it's like, actually, I was kind of hot anyway. I'll take a note from John. Just step out of my clothes.
Put my clothes back on though. It was hot. It was so hot. Good story, Todd. I appreciate that. Thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, thanks for using the new story show, story hotline. I don't know what to call it yet, but there it is.
Yeah, maybe our listeners can come up with a great name for it. 833-55-STORY. That's 833-55-STORY.
That's right.
Call us today.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I got one from Jessa. She didn't use the voice line, but that's okay because she gave us a great story. And by the way, well, I'll get to it. This is from Jessa from Midcoast, Maine. She says, "Hi, James and John. I have a quick story that you might think is pretty funny." Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Really set up the high bar there.
Yeah, we don't like laughing at all, so you're going to have to work for it.
Oh, crap. I laughed already. She says, "Well, my siblings and I were younger, maybe in the 5 to 10 year old range. We were always kind of scared to go through the basement door leading outside. The door is large and metal, and I'll admit, can be kind of intimidating at times."
Yeah.
Well, you know how big doors are.
Yeah.
Somebody thought up a crazy slash great idea. Not sure who thought of it, though. Definitely wasn't me because I was like 5 at the time. Anyway, whenever we would go out the door, you'd just say loudly, so the bad guys outside could hear you, "Okay, we got the guns." That's what you'd say when you go out the door. In our crazy little minds, we thought that this would scare them away and it would be safe to go outside.
That's the way it works.
Yeah. Okay, we got the guns.
I think I've tried that as an adult. Like somebody, I'll hear something downstairs. My wife's like, "All right, you have got to go check." And I'm like, "I don't want to check. I'm scared to death, you know."
Yeah.
But I can't let her know that. So, yeah, I'm walking down the stairs and I'm just like, "Honey, do you have the gun?"
"Is the pit bull still chained up?"
Yeah. It's so dumb. But, you know, it's like every bad guy has already heard all of that before. Like, "What do you think I am, stupid?" And yeah. I know I've been casing this place for weeks. "You have no guns, you know."
"Yeah, you have no guns.
You have no pit bulls. You have
scared of you.
You have a Shih Tzu and a Maltese mix." There are no problem for me, the bad guy. So,
oh, but there could be ninjas in the house.
Oh, man. For a small amount of time, I lived in a trailer a camper out behind the trailer that we lived in when I was growing up. And it was because the trailer only had 3 bedrooms and my brothers were born and they took over my room. And so they put me out in a camper trailer and it was fine. It was kind of fun because I had my own bathroom, even though it was tiny, like an airport bathroom, like showering inside of an airplane bathroom. But going into it from the back door to the camper was scary because I don't know if you remember what it was like when you were a kid, but whenever you were outside, there was always something behind you trying to get you and it would get you to start running. And that was the worst thing you could do because then you could almost feel it touching you as you were running. And so I would run from the back door all the way across the backyard to into the camper and close the door in one big smooth movement to keep the demon from touching my back, you know?
Yeah. That's when you wish you could like walk through walls.
Yeah.
You didn't actually have to slow yourself down by opening the door.
Yeah. I used to do the same thing when I was a kid. And it was just from my front door the door to my bedroom to the bed. I could I could jump and hover all the way from the front door to the bed so that the guy under the bed couldn't get me.
Hey, because you got to turn off the lights before you get into bed.
Michael Jordan.
And like, as soon as those lights go out, that's when the demons show up.
Michael Jordan had nothing on me and I was flying. I was the original Air Bud. So anyway.
Well, Jessa had a few more things to say. I'm sorry. Let me read those. Jess from Midcoast, Maine. She said, "One, I know I'm sending this on the day you record, but I really hope it's not too late to make it on the show."
Oh, well, let me notate on that real quick. You can send stuff on Thursdays because that's when I do the show, but you have to send them in early. The best thing to do is send them on Wednesday.
So. Oh, there you got it. Number two, today is my 13th birthday.
Hey!
Happy birthday, Jessa. Everybody in podcast world, wish Jessa happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Says, number three, my name is Jessa, not Jessica. Thank you very much.
Nobody ever said it wasn't. So there.
She says, thank you. I love you guys. Jessa from Midcoast, Maine. Thank you, Jessa. Maine. And happy birthday.
All right. We have another voicemail from the voicemail line. This one's from Tad. It's called Grabby Gears, and it's terrible. So here we go.
Uh-oh.
Hi, James and John. My name is Tad, and I'm calling from Springport, Indiana. A few months ago, I was working at a factory, and I was cleaning a machine, and I made the dumb choice of leaving the machine running while I cleaned it. There was a couple of different gears that stuff would get in, and so I was cleaning it, and it grabbed my finger and ran it between the gears and cut the top of my finger off. It was just a little flap of skin that kept it connected. I'm going to say about half an inch to three quarters of an inch down from the top of the finger. So I looked at it and I thought, oh, it's not so bad. There was just kind of a red line going across.
Yeah, that's what happens when ninjas cut you.
I touched my finger with another finger from the other hand and it flopped off.
John just passed out.
Oh no, it's not okay. And it was just, it was awful. But I promise you, the first thing I thought, and this is I'm not making this up, it is the truth. The first thing I thought when I saw my finger fall off the backside of my finger was, don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. This belongs on that story show. So there you go. I hope it makes it on the show.
Oh, my goodness. I hope it makes it on the show. He said it. So anyway, we have to play that button. He followed up with another voicemail.
Hey, James and John. This is Tad from Springport again. I just told you the story about cutting the top of my finger off and how that I immediately thought this belongs on that story show. I have pictures if you'd like to see them. I took them with my phone.
No.
That's what we do.
No, thank you.
Really gross happen nowadays. So if you'd like to see pictures.
No.
I've got pictures. I'll email them.
No.
Have a great day, James and John.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't like you. You're banned from the show.
Maybe after everything's healed up, like the shorter finger now, you can send a picture of that. As long as there's not blood and stitches and
we don't want to see any of that.
Bones protruding from it.
You know, he described it as a red line and then he touched it and then it fell off. And that reminds me of how ninjas attack you in anime. You know what I'm talking about? There's always a shing and some sort of line crosses the person. And then they're like, hey, I'm fine. I'm okay. And then they start to slide.
Yeah, they slide in half.
Yeah.
Like they dead.
Like they didn't even feel the blade go through their entire body. But
it's not so bad, and his finger falls off.
Grabby gears.
Yeah, I'm gonna call up OSHA and Tad, I'm gonna just let them know where you work. Because I'm pretty sure you're probably supposed to turn the machines off before you clean them.
I think that's the rule. A hard rule, and that's why they have the rule, so that you can keep all your fingies.
Yeah. You know those ridiculously gruesome graphic or the stick men that they draw on the side of things to warn people. You know,
your hand is all crumpled and stuff.
Yeah. That's Tad. That's Tad. He can now be a living testament of why they put those pictures on the machines. They should put a picture of him on the machine.
And I'm honored that he thought of us. You know, the first thing he thought of.
Don't let me seem ungrateful.
Was us. But the first thing you should think of is 911.
Well, it's not so bad.
It's not so
probably
bad.
Probably smushed everything into place.
Oh,
that's gross. That's gross.
I'm trusting that it got put back on since it was such a clean slice. You know, he just put it back on and it all grew back together and everything's going to be wonderful. That's what we want to know about.
That's what I'm going to believe.
Yeah.
That he didn't lose that part of his finger. He grew back.
Yeah. In our future, there is a wonderful, happy, marvelous finger. And it grew back, and it's there, and it's forever connected. So
like
there
we go. Lizard.
There we go. Okay. So, anyway, read us a story about how homeschool nearly blinded this person.
Okay. It comes to us from Leland Parker in Spanish Fort, Alabama. And it goes like this. Hello, greetings from Alabama. I love your podcast. Not everybody from Alabama talks with an accent, so I'm sorry. It is hilarious and entertaining. Just in case there's a differentiation between the two, it is both.
Yeah.
So this is the story of how I almost got blinded in one of my eyes. It was 2020 when I was 8 years old, homeschooled because of COVID. Oh. I was living in a small two-story house. I had just finished my work for the day, and it was around 8 o'clock p.m., my usual bedtime. And my parents asked me to turn off a light before we went to bed. So for you to understand this next part, we have to have a little area right next to the kitchen where there's a giant whiteboard that we use for either doodling or setting up the schedule for the day. So then I just turned around, walking towards the light my parents just told me to turn off. And then as soon as I turned my head around, I immediately smacked the edge of the metal part of the bottom of the whiteboard, which was super sharp. And I was bleeding too.
Oh.
Two pain stories in a row, James. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, you know, I get what I get, you know.
You get what you get.
You want a better show, send better stories, people.
Pain stories are funny. Okay. I was bleeding. I instantly ran faster than the flash to my parents' bedroom, screaming, "I hit the metal thing on the whiteboard!" That's exactly how it sounded, I'm sure, because it's all in caps. I was crying like there was no tomorrow, I tell you. I kept repeating the same words, "I don't want to go blind, I don't want to go blind, I don't want to go blind." As my parents cleaned up the wound, maybe two or so minutes later, I just wanted to call it a night. But oh, no, 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 no. They insisted we go to the ER.
Oh.
And the fact that they mentioned I might have to get stitches, I was screwed.
Oh.
I started to cry even more. And this is how I'm pretty sure oceans were made.
Oh, yeah.
By eight-year-olds being told they're going to have to get stitches and running into metal things on the whiteboards. Ouch. All of us went into the car, listening to a couple songs to cheer me up. But then, what songs do you think they listen to, James? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
What song would cheer you up on the way to
ER? If I thought I was going blind, that's all your face. No, I'm a believer. You know, I don't know. Just songs about seeing things, you know,
yeah.
Would be good.
I saw the light.
I saw the light. Praise the Lord. I saw the light.
Yeah. Yes. Or maybe it's REM's Everybody Hurts. The days are long, and I hit my face on a whiteboard. It was sharp inside. Okay, but then we arrived, yay, to the ER. We went inside, and my mom explained what happened to the person at the front desk, and then we finally made it inside the doctor's office. He looked at the wound, and I asked, "Will I have to get stitches?" He said, "No, thankfully." But he would instead glue it back together.
Oh!
I asked him, I said, "What kind of glue?" And he said, "Hot glue." And I said,
"That's my kind of doctor."
Yeah, we're going to use some hot glue right here. I got it. I was putting together some crafts earlier, and yeah. I'm just going to hot glue that baby right back together. I asked him how hot it was on the hot meter, and he responded with about a 4.
What's the hot meter exactly?
I don't know. Is that like how you measure how hot peppers are, the Scoville unit?
Well, this kid is 10, so, you know, how hot is hot?
Well, it's, how hot?
Well, compared to the last kid, it was a 10, and he screamed for 3 years. For you, I'm going to turn it down to 4, so it should only, you know, burn you for just a few seconds. So
yes. It won't stick together because of the glue. It's actually going to cauterize the wound back together.
Yes.
Fancy word I learned there back when I was in high school. So he carefully glued it back together, and somehow he managed to get some of the glue in the crevasse of my eye. Now, what 10-year-old uses the word crevasse or crevice? Crevasse? I think it's crevasse. It looks like it's spelled crevasse. It was in the crevasse of my eye, I tell you. It was painful.
I think this was edited by a homeschool mom.
Well, got to remember, Leland was only in homeschool because of COVID.
Yeah,
everybody
but still,
was homeschooled.
Still, though, it still lands on mom and dad. you know,
well,
can't blame the English teacher this time. So I don't know. It's just my theory. It's
fantastic.
So where does your son go to school?
Oh, he's homeschooled.
Well, this was no trip to the ER. This was torture.
Oh.
I squirmed around in pain, trying not to cry because then it would go inside my eye. Oh, no, it would go inside my wound. The tears would go inside my wound and sting even worse.
Oh.
So there was now a piece of glue in the corner of my eye. Great, just great. Mm. But then the doctor explained that it would later dry and be able to peel off.
Mm.
2 years later, I still have a scar from it. Well, that's my story. I really hope it makes it on the show.
Leland Parker, Spanish Fort, Alabama. Parker.
Yes. All y'all folks in Spanish Fort, Alabama, go look up Leland and see if he's got that scar, because Leland's a boy's name, right?
I would hope so. You never know these days, yeah. Though. Bloody birthday cake is what we've got next from Abigail. She says, I was making a cake for my younger brother's birthday. Since his birthday theme was Star Wars, Clone Wars, he asked me to make a cake roll decorated to look like a Zillow Beast severed head. Why am I saying severed head? All right. So the Zillow Beast is a creature that the clones fought. It's kind of like a giant lizard with a long, flexible neck and limbs, as well as an extra leg coming out of its back. Of course. That needs that extra leg to climb around. And yes, the severed head thing is gross, but it was his birthday, so I did what he asked. I already baked and filled and frosted the cake roll. That sounds really good. And now I was preparing to cover it in fondant. Earlier that day, my cat scratched me on the tip of my finger, and I was still wearing a Band-Aid on it. My finger wasn't bleeding anymore, so I decided it would be best to take the Band-Aid off so it wouldn't get in the way. So, with my Band-Aid-less finger, I rolled out the fondant and draped it over the cake roll, and as I began smoothing and trimming the fondant, I noticed that there were a few wet spots on it. I looked around for the source of the moisture. The fondant was brown. So it took me a minute to realize that my cat scratch had opened up again, and I was bleeding all over my brother's birthday cake.
I hope he didn't leave it. No, I hope he did. I don't hope anything.
I pondered what to do. If I didn't tell anyone, would my blood make anybody sick? Could I wipe it off with a wet paper towel? Eventually, I decided to remove the fondant altogether and start over. That's the right thing to do. You just won the game. So I set the bloody fondant to the side. I put a fresh Band-Aid over my scratch, and I began to roll out a new piece of fondant. As I was working, my mom came over and started talking to me. To my horror, she began tearing bits of the bloody fondant, which was lying on the counter, and popping them into her mouth. Thankfully, I think she only took some of the edge and didn't get any of the blood parts, but I watched her like a hawk so I could stop her if she happened to tear off a blood piece. At the end, the cake turned out great. I didn't tell anybody what had happened for fear that they wouldn't eat the cake, even though there was no blood on it now. The funny thing was, it was a severed head cake, so there was red frosting blood all over it, but nobody suspected that there had almost been real blood on it.
Just adds the horror.
I hope you enjoyed the story, Abigail. We did. We did.
Abigail. You know, the right thing to do, just saying, would be I've never taken the Band-Aid off and put on one of those rubber gloves that you use for exams.
Yeah, we trust you cake bakers. We don't know.
Yeah, we trust.
We don't know about your ways. And so we need you to keep us safe from your blood. But you did the right thing. And that's the important part.
But it's family. You know, when you're cooking for family, they probably didn't pay you to make that cake for them. So a little blood never.
I wouldn't want to eat blood. That's all I'm saying.
No. I wouldn't want to eat fondant with blood on it.
I think it's against my religion. I'm not sure. I'd have to read the Bible again, but I think it's in there somewhere. So, yeah. If it was me and my cake and I was the only one eating it, it might be one thing. I don't even think I would do it then. To be honest, I'd be like, I'd have to start over. I can't eat my own blood. But yeah, if you're sharing it, it's the Gospel of Kinnison moment. If you're sharing cakes or building something for somebody and your blood gets in it, it is now yours and yours alone. Okay.
So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. In fact, you can take some of that fondant and roll it up to look like little boogers and store it in your nose and eat it while you're on a Zoom podcast.
There you go. There you go.
It's not boogers. It's fondant.
It's fondant. The joke's on you.
Ha ha.
All right. I got a story here from Aubrey. This is Jamie Lures.
Jamie Lures.
You're going to love this, James. This is a great. Hey, James and John, this is Aubrey. I have a story about the first Christmas my boyfriend Jamie, who is now my husband of 7 years, spent with my family. It's his first Christmas with us. It was so special.
It's a special moment.
He says that you may know him as Jamesicle on Discord.
We do know you as Jamesicle on Discord. Okay, we get to get some background information on this guy.
Now we know you're Jamie, not Jamesicle.
You're a cutesy.
Jamesicle is also a name that Aubrey gave him. So,
oh,
there you go, Jamesicle.
Oh, I can't call him that anymore. It's a cutesy name.
Yeah, it's my little Jamesicle. So handsome and cute and dashing. I love him. Okay, sorry. At this time, Jamie and I had been dating for about a year when he came over. We had met when we were away at college, so he hadn't spent a ton of time with my family yet. I'm the youngest of three children, and I'm the only girl, so my family, especially my dad, is very protective of me.
I know about that, yeah.
Here's a little about my dad. He had a rough childhood. Worked steady, laborious jobs since he was 10. He put his three kids through private school and worked his way to the top of a business that he now runs.
Wow.
He is your typical man's man and is very hard to impress.
Good for him.
Yeah. Good man. Sir, I call him sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir Aubrey's dad. Hello. And I'm sure that Jamie was doing the same thing. So Jamie was a little nervous, needless to say, around him and wanted to be on his good side.
Don't call me James Sickle when your dad's around. Please, whatever you do, Aubrey. Don't call me James Sickle. I don't know why, but that's funny.
It is. It is. I'm going to stick to the trail here.
Okay.
But Jamie was a little nervous around him. Oh, are you ready? Be on his good side. Don't call me Jamie. Okay, so it came time to open gifts. And when it was my turn, I grabbed the gift from my mom had got for me. And out of the neatly wrapped box, I pulled out a pair of sparkle butt jeans.
What?
Not sparkle B-U-T jeans, but B-U-T-T jeans.
Sparkle butt jeans. That's what we would say in the South. Sparkle butt jeans.
Sparkle butt jeans. What are sparkle up butt jeans, you may ask?
Yeah.
Well, they are the jeans that have rhinestones and other sparkly material embroidered on the back pockets of the jeans.
Oh.
It was a very popular style for country girls to wear. And I thought that they were super cute.
Oh, yes.
My brother, trying to be smart, remarks, "Hey, Obbs, it looks like you have fishing lures on your butt." And then my dad follows up with, "Oh, those aren't fishing lures. Those are Jamie lures."
Oh, no.
Everyone laughed extra hard. And Jamie, being a redhead, turned extra red. Oh, man, dude. I would have died right there and rolled up underneath the couch so that nobody could have ever seen me again.
I would have taken my shirt off and started fanning it in front of the air conditioner. Yeah. Anyway,
stop it, man. I was hot. Come on.
You were on camera.
Oh, it did. I forgot about the cameras. Aubrey says, "And that's how I knew my dad actually liked Jamie and accepted him into our family. He could actually make a joke about and come to terms with someone finding his daughter attractive."
Oh,
especially her jeans.
Yeah.
I added that part. Those are Jamie lures. I would have died.
Yeah, there would have been suicide in there somewhere in that dinner. A young man killed himself today after his girlfriend unpacked some sparkle butt jeans. You know those kind of sparkle butt jeans, the ones the country girls think are cute. And dad made a comment about fishing lures and how it was a Jamie lure. And Jamie, also known as Jamesicle, was a redhead. And so he exploded. In a shower of sparkles. So.
Well, Jamesicle, I hope that the Jamie lures on Aubrey's pants continue to
No, what are you doing? What are you?
Is that a blessing? I don't know. I was trying to turn it into something good. I just ruined it. I'm sorry. Yeah, now who's turning red? It's so hot in here.
Such a clean show until John starts talking. What happens? That's usually my job.
It meant to be innocent.
May the sparkles always enhance the backside. I don't know what in the world you were going for. But that's what it translated to. Anyway,
that in the show.
This is from Bobby Anderson. Oh, it's in the show. You better hope it's in the show because it's staying in the show. That's a three ring right there. You got three times as much staying power. Bobby Anderson writes, "Hey, James and John, my name is Bobby and I'm 9. Okay, this should be nice and clean and cute and everything else. This is my story about the time I got pinned by a chicken."
What's that mean?
I don't know. About two days ago, I was scaring chickens at my sister's Fort Mill. Never starts good. I'm scaring chickens. They're going to get mad. Anyway, I was scaring chickens at my sister's horseback riding lessons. He was bored, you know? And yeah. I was scaring chickens for fun. But the last chicken.
It's not that hard, really.
Yeah. But the last chicken, instead of running away, it lunged at me. I froze in shock as it stared at me for several moments. And after I carefully shouted for my mom, you can't get the word out. You're carefully shouting.
The chicken is looking at me.
She came over and brought me away from the chicken. Come on over, Bobby. You're too chicken to play with this chicken. Ever since I got scared by that chicken, I am now scared of chickens. There we go. And I leave them alone.
Kind of scary.
Hope it makes it on show. Bobby Anderson. Yeah, I agree, Bobby. Any animal that I've already decided, I've said this on the show before, my bravery around small critters is completely dependent on their fear of me.
Yeah.
And if they run away, I am brave. But the moment a woodchuck or a little bird or anything turns around, stares at me and starts coming at me, I'm running.
A mouse.
Yeah. Anything. I don't care what it is. I don't want
lizard.
And if they only knew this, if animals could get that in their head, that they don't have to be scared of us, we're scared of them secretly, they could take over the world. It would be like Hitchcock's The Birds. The birds wouldn't need to kill you. All they would have to do is just turn around and start acting like they were going to peck your toe, and you would freak out and run away. And that would be it. Of course, we would probably call pest control, take care of them. You know.
Yeah, they can do that.
And all the birds control. Would die, and it would be terrible. But anyway, it's time for us to get out of here. Surely you have a funny life story that you'd like to hear on this show. Whatever your story is, call us toll free 833-55-STORY or email thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Review of the show on iTunes or wherever you found us. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get extra bonus content from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, I need to call 911. And then, only then, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, John. Thanks, man.
Thanks, James.
Oh, thanks to everybody that joined us live. And, John, I just have to believe that in my heart you're wearing sparkle butt jeans right now.
Well, as a matter of fact,
because you're a country boy, and
Fred,
you know, that's what country boys think are cute. So
I might not be wearing any jeans.
Oh boy!
I mean, gosh. This is the country.
It just depends on how hot you are. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I got my pants on, I promise. And my shirt's on too, just in case you're listening.
I can see that. I can see your shirt. Everything else is a mystery though.
Oh. My fingers hurt from Tad's story.
Yeah. Send in nice stories for us to read next week, please.
Sparkle butt jeans.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.